when I hear things, I hear it in my head and in my voice. So a lot of people think they aren't actually picking up information because they hear it in their own voice. But it's things that you wouldn't know or you wouldn't say. Same thing with mediumship. But some people will hear outside. That's why I say, like you, I like to teach my students that don't worry how you get it, right? Just honor what you're getting because it's not wrong.
My guest today is Kelly Coulter, psychic medium and investigator. She's going to share some different ways psychic abilities can be used and how you can be taught to discover your own unique ways of connecting with the mystical. Also co-hosting with me is my wife and clinical psychologist, Katrina. This is a fascinating conversation. Here we go.
Well, I thought if we could start maybe with like a story or a case or something you want to share that's really exciting or heartwarming or profound or something. I don't know if you prepared something like that, but that's where I would like to start.
I have a business partner, and we just did an event called Austin Case Files, where we took a group of people to Austin and we researched some of the deaths that are going on at Lady Bird Lake. So part of that was going to the actual site where the person was last seen, right? So I don't know if you've ever been to Austin. It was my first time. But there's a street called Rainy Street. Very popular, and it's all like bars and restaurants. And this is where these men were last seen, most of them. So we went to one of the sites and we did a remote viewing. For this case, the actual site is no longer there, the actual bar. So, we walked around the land and did all that. And on the way back, and it's not a very long street, but it's a street where they have like the person that stands outside to greet you. They want you to come in, and so that's all the way down the street. And we get almost to like the end of the street, and this is how the psychic stuff works. I just thought, I'm going to ask this guy if he knows anything about the Lady Bird Lake drownings. So I just went up to him and said, "Hey, do you know anything about this?" And he said, "Do I?" He said, "One of the victims was my friend that I grew up with." And so it's just so random, right? And he was very generous. And then we were able to invite him back to work with us and talk with us. And it's always when it's like firsthand, when you're actually at the scene or you're talking with somebody like a family member or somebody who knows the victim, it just kind of heightens the energy. So that's just something that recently happened that I thought was kind of fun.
So it's really like listening to those little whispers and following through on it. Wow.
Yeah. And that's what I think is kind of hard for people. They'll think, oh, I'm not, I don't have any good intuition, because we often don't trust ourselves. It's easy for us to give advice to other people because our intuition's good, right? But when it comes to us, we're like, oh, am I making that up? Oh, what if I walk up to that person and they shut me down? What if they think I'm crazy? What if I tell them I'm a psychic and they're like, okay, just kind of getting rid of all those fears and just kind of going for it.
And then are you guys gonna like showcase your findings or what you guys experienced there? Is that something you put out on YouTube or?
Yeah, we are not actually finished with it. So part of the event was in Austin for 3 days, and it was like all day long. And then we have three more Zoom sessions, like three more where we're going to continue to work on a case or two. And then after that, yes.
Wow.
Super excited.
Did you say this is something you organized or you're part of that? And
Yeah, it's something that another psychic medium who's a good friend of mine, her name's Kay Reynolds. We're both former teachers, so we kind of geek out on setting this all up. And so we did. She's in the Austin area, so that's not the real reason. We did choose it for what was going on there, but it just kind of worked out. So we kind of, yeah, geek out on the, okay, we can have them do, a chart with, we're going to put the sticky on what they found for this episode. evidence, you know, so it was fun for us to do. So yeah, we did put it together.
Wow, that sounds super interesting. Did you have a lot of people sign up, or do you limit it to like a smaller group?
We wanted a smaller group, and we had a good size. We had 10 sign up, which was actually perfect. We could have done more, but 10 was really good. It's a close now. It's a close group, and our goal is for them to, after this mentorship, to be able to work with families and law enforcement on their own or as a group because they all know each other now, right?
So, will you be doing more of these in the future? Because this sounds really cool.
Yeah, and so the way we set this one up is we didn't let them know what we're investigating because you know you front load once you get that information you can't go back, right? So I'm sure several of them knew about these drownings, but you know without going into each specific case we didn't want them to do that. So like we have another place in mind, and yeah, I don't know if I want to share that yet. But I'll tell you what we are doing. We're looking for other places that are like this, where there's a cluster of, you know, something going on or unsolved. This case, sometimes people will say, is the smiley face killers. I don't know if you're familiar with them. So, you know, perhaps we'll go to another area where that's the theory as well. Or, you know, maybe we'll do something completely different. But it's an experience and it's like super fast paced. So normally we do a mentorship and it'd be like, you know, half a year. So this was really intense and really fun. And so, yeah, we are planning more.
And then, so outside of the psychic detective work, do you do similar intensives or trainings with groups for mediumship or some of the other skills?
So I do right now, like my focus is the psychic investigation part, and not everyone likes to do that. It's kind of a calling, I guess. But you know, prior to that, I have things like I'll do like a 4 week class on like psychometry, which is a skill you do for this psychic investigation, or remote viewing. And so you can use those for anything, for mediumship, for other psychic things that you want. So if they're not interested. So yes, intensive in that matter. Right now I'm not doing a lot of I have a mediumship circle that I do, but not intensive right now at the moment. Yeah.
And what is you said psychometry, because in our field that's like test administration and scoring and things like that. So I'm curious what that means in your world.
Interesting. Yeah. So psychometry is having an object. Like you think about when you go in, if you've ever been into an antique store and picked up something, you're like, oh, this has some interesting energy. And then you start, you know, down the path. I wonder what the history is on this. It's that, but for psychic investigation, we'll use a photo. So a photo of the victim or suspected, you know, killer. And we tap into that energy and come up with whatever we can about that person, who they were, you know, what things they like to do, what was the situation when they went missing or were murdered. We always usually start with the psychometry. So you also can use kind of like what you were talking about, you can psychometrize like writing, you know, so if you actually had a physical letter from somebody or virtually as well, you know, feeling into the letter, you know, what is that? It has energy from the person that wrote it. So psychometry can be a lot of different things, but that's kind of how we mostly use it.
And how does the information come to you? Do you get, is it told to you? Is it downloads? Is it just knowing? Is it images or is it feeling?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because it is different for everybody. And that is actually one of my things that I like to teach other psychic mediums, to do it your way and don't think that whatever you're getting, however you're getting your information is wrong. So for me, I actually, but probably my number one way of getting information is through dreams. And so when I'm working on a case, I will often either set the intention to connect in my dreams, or it will just come to me. Also, I guess we'll visually see a scene or the location, which is part of remote viewing, which you can take yourself there as well and look around. I also hear things. Like I'm not good at smells, so other people might be picking up on smells or odors or something. That's just not something like in my toolbox. I do hear, mostly I also feel. That's actually probably my number one. It just hits me a certain way. Like when Andrew was talking about meeting you, I'm like, oh, there's something interesting about that. You know, what do I, when he mentioned you, I'm like, oh, Katrina, okay, she is something special, you know? It's just that feeling.
You're probably picking up on my excitement when he mentioned. I was like, wait, what? No, I need to be part of this.
Hey
Yeah.
Kelly, I'm wondering if you
Oh,
can just
sorry.
go into just real quickly, like when you say you hear and
Oh.
you see and you feel, like what are you hearing? What is that? Is that like a voice in your head? Are you hear, does it sound like it's coming from outside of you when you're seeing it? Is it like a flash of something? Is it through like a daydream? What is that actually, how does that come to you?
Yeah, really good question. For me, when I hear things, I hear it in my head and in my voice. So a lot of people think they aren't actually picking up information because they hear it in their own voice. But it's things that you wouldn't know or you wouldn't say. Same thing with mediumship. But some people will hear outside. That's why I say, like you, I like to teach my students that don't worry how you get it. Right, just honor what you're getting because it's not wrong. Some people, I'm going off topic a little bit, but some I have students who will look at psychometrize a photo, and if the mouth is moving, they know the person's alive, and if it's not, they know they're past. For me, I don't get that, and that's not something I would have taught before because I wasn't aware of it, right? So now that I am, that's one thing I can say, hey, you may see the mouth moving. So hearing wise, that's how I hear. Seeing, it's kind of like a movie, I guess, in my head, but it's super fast. And so I guess I could also say it's kind of like a flash. Sometimes I don't see like the whole person. I will just see what's important. Oh, they had red hair. That stands out. That's really interesting about them. Sometimes the feeling part is for me when it just like kind of hits you in the gut, and that's where I feel it. Some people will feel it like in their heart space or maybe their head space, but just knowing, like we were working on a case the other day, and I wasn't actually there. I have a group of other people that I work with, and I wasn't there, and they worked on a case, and they were talking about somebody was innocent. And right when I read that, I'm like, he's not. I feel like he's guilty, but I didn't even know the case, right? So it just that's what popped in my head. That's what I felt. So
When you say feeling, are you talking about kind of an intuition, like an energy of like a knowing? Or are you talking more about emotion, like where you feel the emotion?
oh, okay. So it can be both ways.
Okay.
So that's a really good question. So for me, it's like the knowing, like the feeling, like that feels right, like I'm on the right track. And you'll pick up on things that don't feel right. And I don't know, that doesn't feel right to me. I don't think that's what happened. But you also can pick up the emotions. I know this person. My head feels a little dizzy. I know this person, you know, possibly was using alcohol or other drugs or medication. Or if you're not real clear, sometimes it can be somebody that has mental health issues. It can be somebody who has dementia you're looking for. Those are tricky, right? And some people will actually feel that the person, they'll feel something in their chest. Maybe the person was, you know, shot in the chest, and they'll pick that up and they'll feel that pressure there. So it can be both ways.
I actually have just a couple questions. I don't even know how to put this. It's almost like related questions. So what you're describing, obviously you've practiced this, you've refined this, you know that this is a gift for you. How did you know that? I mean, I would think that for somebody who's not aware that this is a gift and what they're feeling, they might start to think they're like a little crazy or something. Or like, how do you know which voices are coming in, or yours or somebody else's? How did you come to awareness that you possess this psychic talent?
That's a super good question again. So I'm old, right? So back in the day, we did not have internet, right? So we didn't have a way to reach out and connect with other people. And when I was little, I started having visitation dreams. And I kind of thought everyone did, but then I kind of noticed that not everyone did. So you wouldn't really say anything. You didn't really have anyone to talk to. So you kind of squish it down. Some people didn't, but I did. Until for me, it was much later. All throughout my life, I've had experiences, right? Like most people who are aware of their intuition. But another way that's very common for people to begin to acknowledge it again is if having something traumatic happen. It seems to kickstart it. So for me, that was what happened. I had a surgery that went wrong, and it was almost like a restart, I guess. And finally, just wanting to know, about what there was out, afterlife. Why do I feel this way? And then I just really, really studied hard. I went to so many classes. I took classes from different instructors, which is something I always recommend. I learned all kinds of different things, Akashic records, trance, all different kinds of forms, and I kind of stuck with what I like, what I felt like it was my, goal or whatever. So that happens for a lot of people as well. Some people who think they'll be afraid to say, oh, I don't know, maybe. I always say go for it. And so if people aren't sure, they can come to my, circle, and I tell them everyone in the circle is fantastic. So if you don't get anything, you don't get anything, but try. And it is something that you have to keep practicing, because it's not sure. There's people who automatically, oh, I know that this is the location, this is where they are, but it is honing your own skills. How do you know that? Okay, now you're going to really focus on the knowing part. How can I enhance that? Or I'm really good at psychometry. So how am I going to keep practicing that so I know I'm right, so I can keep practicing it? And so it's just kind of not being afraid to jump in. I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, kind of along that question, I know you said you had another one, but so were you like when you were teaching, were you using your gifts too, or were they popping in? And like, how did that work as a
Right.
teacher?
So part of when I was talking about the traumatic event was at the end of my teaching career. But I think most teachers actually have this really good intuition, like what's going on with the student or, where they're coming from. So I think that comes naturally to teachers. But yes, like I would have a lot of students just randomly come up to me and not know this about me and share these stories that were so cool. Like I had a kid who I also taught special ed at the end. So he one ear he had no hearing in it, and he was a big history buff. He loved history. He could tell you every single thing about history, but he never wanted to talk about World War I because he said it gave him PTSD. And I'm like, what do you
Oh,
mean?
wow.
Yeah, and he goes, I can't, it just takes me back there, he said. And he said, that's what happened to my ear. And so
Okay.
it's kind of bizarre things. Like, why do they share that with me? Probably because they feel there's something, maybe that'll understand. But I did also teach in juvenile hall, and that was really heavy. If I can say that, when you walk into a room and you just feel like, oh, what's going on in here? Even if it seems like it's a happy workplace, but you can still feel there's something heavy. So juvenile hall was, the classrooms were all cinder block, no windows. So you're completely going in, and you go in as a teacher thinking you're going to save all these kids. But I mean, I hate to say it, but that doesn't happen. So being in a room full of really dark energy, and I hate to say that, but it is the truth. It's really heavy. I had, you know, you have people who've murdered in there, who are sociopaths, psychopaths, who have trauma, and trauma is super heavy. You know that as a therapist. You know, you can only do it for so long. So I was only there for 6 years because it was just really heavy, right? And you could pick up on things that are going on with the kids, you know, and what had happened to them. And I don't know if that answers your question, but so did I use my abilities? I mean, as a teacher, natural teacher, yes, but I didn't, you know, try to do more than that.
Yeah, in the behavioral health or mental health fields, you know, obviously there's a lot of talk about trauma. You just brought up a story that suggests that trauma can be carried over from one life to the next. Do you see that a lot with folks you work with who might have these feelings like they underwent a traumatic experience, but they can't really explain why? And maybe it relates to something in a different life?
Yeah, I do, and I run into things like it's something like maybe from a past life that they brought, they're still trying to figure out, but yet they've already done that, right? They don't need to be figuring out this time. One thing I see a lot of too is people who will want to connect with other soul family groups, you know, that they've had or they carry with them, but it's not this lifetime that they're supposed to, if that makes sense. So a lot of people, I feel like that's my soulmate, you know, and something will happen and it's because this time they're supposed to be, you know, friends, or they're supposed to be, you know, something else. But I do, a lot of us, I think, carry things over. Like I was thinking about one of the questions that you were you wrote down for me to maybe answer was the why am I afraid of the dark? And I don't really know, right? But I do know, you know, maybe it's from something from a past life, you know, maybe I was a miner, you know, and I got trapped in the dark and cave collapsed. I don't really know, but I do see it a lot. And I think once people are able to figure out or know what this trauma was or what they're carrying over and can set that aside, I think it's really can be healing for them because, you know, it validates that they really are feeling this, but you've already done that, you know?
That's kind of what I was wondering is like, I always have this question of like, on the flip side, not just trauma, but like things that we've done before that were just really fulfilling and enjoyed greatly. And then now we have a pull to go do something. And then sometimes I wonder, is this because it's just coming in from before? Or is this something I really want to do? Does that make sense? Kind of what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think that's actually kind of a little bit harder question to answer. Yeah, of course, possibly, right? And sometimes things do carry over. Sometimes you're always meant to be the teacher, you know, but you might be teaching something different, or in a different way. But yeah, we do, I think, carry things over that feel good to us that maybe aren't, I don't know if this is true or not, but maybe that aren't going to affect something in our soul's path, if that makes sense. Like, so it's part of it, but it's not the main thing. So it's kind of okay if we still are drawn to that.
That makes sense. Can I ask you a couple of questions about the mediumship and the animal
Yeah,
stuff
yeah,
as
yeah.
well? So I'm wondering, as a medium, do you get information when you're not wanting it? And then, or when you're not set up to be taking in that information and communicating it? And if like, what do you do with that, when that
Yeah.
happens?
Yeah. So, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's not like you see on TV. That's, very scripted. That's, worked out beforehand. It's not like you just walk into the store and you see someone, you're going to go up and talk to them. In fact, I would actually say that's, kind of unethical because they're not asking you to do this. So what do? You're out, you see, you notice spirit. You, I mean, several things you could do. You could ask what they want, what they're here for. And if it's somebody you can maybe give them that information, right, in a way. If they're open to it, you could do that, of course. But I personally don't feel comfortable giving people information that they didn't ask for. So, what do I do with it? I set the person aside, the spirit, person's spirit aside. I'm not working right now. You'll have to convince them to go to a medium, or something like this, or visit them in their dreams or something. So that's kind of how that happens. And I actually get a lot of people who are therapists, and they're like, every time I have a client, I'll get spirit come in. And some will, if their client's open, they know, then they will relay the information. But it's sometimes it's easy to get, okay, I have your grandma and she's wearing pearls and she wants you to get a new job. And then that's all they know. You have to go deeper, right? So it's not just a superficial, we've got spirit person here. But what is the message, or why are they here? What do they want to relay? And so it's tricky with therapy, right? It's tricky. I know we are allowed, I mean, I don't know if you are, but as a teacher, we were allowed to kind of talk about mindfulness. And so sometimes I could weave that in a little bit. I don't know if that's what you're talking about, but it's tricky. Yeah.
And on your website, it mentioned animals. Are those living pets? Are those past? Both? All
Both.
of them? Okay.
Yeah. So, a lot of times when I'm doing a mediumship reading, I'll see an animal. It'll be whatever, a dog, a cat. Or sometimes I will feel that the person in spirit wants to talk about the dog they left behind and wants to thank the person for, taking care of that dog, even though the dog was a pain, right? Or something like this. Sometimes I do have people that, of course, will ask, what's wrong with my dog, or what are they doing? Like, for example, I had a lady that she said, all of a sudden, my dog is getting up on my chest. Like, whenever I lay down, he wants to get on my chest. And so, like, I just kind of like, tapped in and I'm like, did you just have COVID? And she said, yes. And I go, he's like concerned about your breathing. She's like, yeah, I still have bronchitis. So it was a new behavior and she didn't know why that was happening. So I do readings like that. Also, missing animals, which can be both tricky and both rewarding. as animals, they move around a lot, right, when they're missing. And then you'll have some that don't want to be found. So for whatever reason, they're going to pass, or they were only meant to be in that person's life for that short amount of time. But done quite a few, actually working on a case right now with a dog that's missing a little. And it's tricky because he moves around a lot, right? So when you get the location, then it's like, now where is he today? So I do both. I also really feel like a lot of living animals will connect with spirit, see spirit. You might see them looking off into the corner, or they might bark out of, or they might try to come comfort you, not because they're scared, but just because it's like that connection. They're trying to give the love. Other ways too. So it's super interesting. A lot of people will do like, what's wrong with my dog? How do you feel? What's going on? I have to say that is something that I do, but that may not be one of my specialties because I do, I feel things, but not to an extent. So I might say, oh, I feel like something's wrong with his tummy, but I'm not going to say, oh, he has, swallowed something, if I don't feel that. I might pick up on the tummy part, but not exactly what's causing it. I don't have to answer your question, but
Do you have your own pets?
yes, we have only have a cat right now. And we just lost a cat that was like 15. And you can cut this out if you want. But I always joke because my husband sometimes is so much more intuitive than I am. And I get envious, right? He goes, well, he goes, the other day I was back in the bathroom where the cat's food is. And he goes, and I heard Ella. I'm like, what? Why didn't you tell me? And he goes, yeah, I knew the other cat was outside. So he goes, I heard her meowing. And so I told her, I can't see you, but but we love you, And then another time he said he heard her walking on like by her bedroom and knew it wasn't the other cat. So, that can happen too. I don't know. So yes, we do have one cat and she's very naughty.
Are you able to talk with her and understand your pets better, do you think?
Sometimes it's hard when they're your own, kind of like when they're your own children, maybe. I actually, that's a really good question because I really haven't tried to find out what her story is. She's kind of my son's cat, and I should though, because she bites me. She'll like kind of like get lovey and then she'll like bite me, not hard, but she doesn't like me very much. So I should ask her what's going on, girl. Yeah.
Something that I wanted to know is what would you say to, or what do you say, or how do you treat skeptics? Because I don't know. I guess I'm kind of thinking about myself sometimes where I suspect there's a lot of people that really want to believe. And I guess that's like a lot of things, but there's that voice like, can this be real? Or am I getting taken for a ride? Or I don't want to feel silly, but I really do want to know. What do you have any just like general thoughts for people like that?
Yeah, you do get a lot of skeptics. So the very first thing is you're absolutely right. There are people who are going to take advantage of you, and unfortunately, that's the truth. Where I live, we have a lot of like black magic or curses, and so I get a lot of people who will ask, "Can you take the curse off me?" These kinds of things. Somebody's, told me I have a curse and they want me to pay $800 to get it taken off. And then I'll say, absolutely not. That's they're trying to take advantage, of course. So there's that. I also, I do get a lot of people and I'll ask them, is this kind of weird for you? Yeah, I had someone last night. He goes, yeah. And I go, okay, just, be open to it and ask me questions and, see how you feel after. I would say do your research also to find someone that you feel like you connect with, because I know I get a lot of people that say, I don't know what it was, but I just saw your picture on your website and I felt drawn to you. It should be that way where you feel like that person could I feel a connection with them, what else? I kind of maybe research like how mediums get their information because we're not fortune tellers, right? So some people will want us to tell them exactly what's going to happen, but we have a path. We can see things a certain amount of ways, or we might see things certain ways out, but we're not always going to be able to predict the future until you're 100, right? I had, for example, I had someone that wanted to test me, this guy, this kid. And I said, okay. And he goes, well, let me ask you a question and see if you can answer it. And he says, all through, texting. I go, okay, go for it. And he said, what is my favorite anime? And I'm like, oh gosh. Okay. For me, my kids, all I know were Naruto, Sailor Moon, right? Those are ones back in the day. My kids are also older. And so I'm like, I go, I don't know. I go, I could see Naruto, and he goes, now you're just guessing. And I go, I'm not. That is my frame of reference. I don't know the other anime because they're not current for me. So if I were doing a reading, I might see Naruto and I might say, oh, I know that you're into anime. That might be my sign that you're into anime, but I'm not going to be able to say, probably not, unless I get a name. So he thought I was making it up, but and that's fine. But do your research, look at the testimonials. Don't be afraid. I guess those are the my recommendations.
Okay, this interests me. You'd mentioned that folks in your area want curses taken off and that kind of stuff. So you just shared a story about working with a child, and you've been a teacher, and so you kind of see the best in a lot of people. What is your view on curses, dark spirits? I mean, when you're doing this psychic investigative work, you're working with some, I would imagine, some pretty dark stuff. Like, what is How should people understand that? Is it so it's real, right? I mean, what is it though?
Oh, that's a really good question. So for me, as far as the psychic investigation part, my way of looking at that is I'm trying to shine light into the darkness. I'm looking at like I'm helping and trying to alleviate some of that darkness. As far as the curses, I'm gonna be really honest. I am on the fence about some of this because I did start out in paranormal investigating and I've seen some things, I've heard some things. But I also maybe don't feel that you could be cursed if you don't buy into it. A lot of that is the energy. And it's cultural where I am. So it's you're known. This is, oh, they're giving you the eye, and if you see a baby and you don't touch its head, that's something bad's going to happen to the baby. It's all these things you grow up being taught, and so you believe it, right? So you might start attributing things that are bad that are happening to that, and it kind of gives the energy, if that makes sense. So I always kind of recommend just don't put any energy into it, right? But there's going to be the people that are going to say, can take the curse off.
Yeah, that makes sense. We had mentioned in trading emails the topic of geology. Do you find you and you just mentioned your area where you live, and there's some cultural factors there. As far as like geography and geology, are there we live right on like a fault, a major fault, and on one side of the fault it feels a certain way. I know it sounds really weird, but and I'm thinking, I'm trying to explain this through a geological scientific approach and I can't, but on the other side of the fault down below, it's a weird, strange energy. Katrina and I have talked about it before. I can't explain it. It just feels like heavy and dark. Do you have, I don't know, do you have any thoughts on just geology or geography and the energies around that that you pick up on?
Yeah, and I think there's a lot that we don't know. I do totally believe that the land holds energy. A lot of you'll go to the war, the where they have, where a war's been or whatever, back on the East Coast, I can't think of what it's called. And people will see things and feel things and hear things. I believe a lot of things on native land are interesting that we don't know about. I recently have kind of come to believe that there are lots of things that we don't know about in the air, in the land, in the water, that we just don't have a name for. But I totally believe it. Just like if you go to Sedona and you feel that vortex feeling, right? There's lots of places that feel very healing, but I would honor that if you're feeling like there's something that doesn't feel right. I definitely believe that. And if you do like the paranormal investigating, they'll say there's certain, rocks that will hold energy more, certain, So I do believe that. I don't, I'll be honest, I don't have all the answers, and I try to figure these things out myself. And I am a lifelong learner, so I'm still on that track, trying to figure these things out. What do you think? You do geology. What do you feel besides that?
Well, I'm the same way as you. I'm just curious and open-minded. I know in looking at ancient sites, some of the work, the research, the theorizing that's being done around that by people who know much more about it than I do are speculating about some of the geochemical and geomagnetic relationships through different kinds of rocks and water movement and faults and all those kinds of things. So, I mean, it makes sense if everything's energy that there is some impact there, but I don't know. I'm just very interested in it. That blend between hard science, geological and earth sciences and chemistry, and then the other areas of energy work. And I think they probably go together very well.
I don't think I have any more specific questions. Did you have any more?
Yeah, just a couple. And we can cut this out as well if you don't feel comfortable. And maybe Katrina, you can add to this a little bit. But there's been some research done. I don't know all the details around it. In children, I think mostly children with autism spectrum disorder, and like their telepathic abilities and that kind of stuff. You have a background in special education, plus you do this. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about that, or have you researched any of that, or
Yeah,
have you?
100%. I believe 100%. They're brain, magical, right? And I feel like there's definitely something to it. Whether I don't know, it depends. You have a nonverbal versus a verbal. You can get a little more information out of them. But it's something about stepping into their energy, and it feels very different, and there's something to it. And I also have a little theory about the new babies that are being born are almost a different, feel. And I feel like the ones being born now are coming to kind of heal the world, kind of do something different. So I don't know, there's why do we have more kids diagnosed with autism, right? Well, I kind of feel like we maybe don't. We just didn't recognize it before. And I don't know, Katrina, what you think about that. But I think, we just maybe didn't have a word for it. I don't know. What do you think, Katrina?
Well, I think since it's been opened up to a spectrum, so we're talking about a lot of different types of children, kind of all under one spectrum.
Umbrella.
And so I think, there's similarities, but there's also a lot of differences. So maybe we're giving a diagnosis for something that there's other pieces that we might be missing and that we'll discover. But working with children every day, definitely, it seems like this generation coming in is wired differently in the sense of having such an inner compass and such a knowing, and it's just a different way of already knowing how they're going to be in the world. And I don't know, it's really fun to work with them one-on-one in a really safe setting and getting to see things and connect with them. And it definitely seems like there's something special about, I mean, they're special every generation, I don't mean that, but something very different and almost spiritual already, but in their own way, not in a learned sort of religious way. So I think it's very exciting. But I think we have a lot to learn about autism. I don't know. I don't know that we know what it is. And studying some of those research studies that are being done, where it's blending what Andrew is talking about, the science with the mystic, and it's pretty cool. It's definitely changing old ways of thinking for sure.
Yeah, I love that.
It's so funny that you went to kids like that, because the next question I have written down right here is crystal children,
Oh.
and it's like you did, and then you just went right there. So, but you feel like, and I know Katrina, you've heard some stuff around this too, that this new generation is bringing something. I guess as a teacher and a parent, I've always thought about instruction as going from the top down, like the older generation kind of teaches the younger generation, And then with this new group, it's almost like they're here to teach us something. They're bringing in something new, and we need to pay attention to that.
I agree. I lose track of what the new generation is called. So crystal, rainbow, whatever, right? But I do believe that is happening. And my sons are like 30 and 27, but that generation's very focused on saving the earth and very concerned that we're not doing anything. Whereas most of us are like, well, we won't be here, so what does it matter? So I think starting with that age group and then going backward, each maybe 10 years or so, it's kind of like building on something to help us, in some way. And you're right. Like I almost don't like the word old souls, but you get a lot of those who are so wise beyond, their age, who know things that or feel things, who are open. And I actually believe that they will be open to, call it psychic, whatever you want, intuition, their inner compass, what they feel, instead of being us be telling them that they're wrong or they shouldn't be feeling that way. I feel like they're a little rebellious in ways, and I love that, right?
For
For
Katrina,
sure.
do
And
you have
I
a...
don't know if it's just because, I get to spend so much time with them one-on-one during the evaluation process. It just seems like there's a large number that are just so special. Like, just you can just feel that there's something very magical about them. But I don't know what you call it.
Oh, they're lucky to have you, that you kind of are open to those things, right? Because I know a lot of people with therapists maybe would be like, well, here's the facts. These are the facts. But I love that you are open to combining, whether you say it or not, but combining that with your other beliefs.
Well, we have these discussions all the time with, a diagnosis or, it's like, is this really a problem? Because this is really kind of cool. Actually, I think it might be your superpower. Sometimes the child's like, this is not a superpower. And I'm like, I don't know. I think it might be. I know it doesn't feel like that at school when you're working on a worksheet, but so it's kind of hard to know, like, what are we really looking at, and what is this? Is this a context problem where it's the wrong environment, or is this exactly what you need to hone your superpower? And I don't know. It's very cool work.
And that reminds me of the student I was talking about, the World War I. He didn't have hearing in one ear, but that kid was an auditory learner. Go figure, right? And so the teachers always wanted him to take notes. And I said, no, he's that distracts him, and then he doesn't get the information. And so I'd write it in his IEP. He doesn't have to take notes. And they hated me for it, right? But it was limiting him. He could verbally tell you all this. He could write it down in the test. Let somebody else take notes, and he can look at them if he wants. So yeah, making him fit into our mold.
I know they all just seem to be perfectly created, exactly as they need to be. It's just interesting. Anyway.
And a lot of the non-traditional learners that we work with, they seem to have intuition. They learn intuitively. It's not something that can be maybe, formulated, sequenced. It's I guess like what you're talking about. They see it in their head. They feel it. It's an intuitive sort of approach towards problem solving. Do you work with parents and kids at all, or do you, I don't know, do you share any perspectives with parents who are trying to understand their kids?
I've always wanted to do that. It's really tricky, working with children as far as anything legal, right? As far as them developing, that's my belief. I know some people do, but sometimes if the parent gives permission, it's just a really tricky area. I wish there was some way to support these kids and work with them. I guess if they approach me, but a lot of times it's the parents. So I give ideas of what they can do with them to help them embrace what they're going through, or specific exercises, or helping them. I mean, I'm not a therapist, but helping them to understand like maybe how they're thinking and that it's okay. One thing I get, I don't know if this is on topic, is people will want me to come to their house because their child is seen and talking to somebody, right? So that's a conversation that a lot of times I don't know that it's bad. It just depends. Who are
Have
they
you done
talking
that?
to? Sorry, have I done that?
Yeah.
Yeah, not that often, but yes.
And
Yeah.
you're able to help them understand kind of what's going on.
Yeah, and each case is different, right? Like sometimes I had maybe a little girl that said the mean man is in the mirror. Well, we probably want to get rid of the mean man, right? But if they're just sitting having a conversation, it's worth exploring. Because if we shut them down, perhaps, or we say it's not real, then it's like the rest of us my age, okay, and we just go on. It's tricky. It's so tricky. There used to be the TV shows where they'd have the children and they help them with a mentor, a psychic mentor, and they would say, "Oh yeah, that's how I felt, when I was young. Here are some things you can do if you're scared. Here are some things you can do if you don't understand." So I thought that was really beneficial. I wish we had something like that. If somebody wants to do it, I'm happy to to be a part of it. But legally, I feel like I wouldn't know what to do, if that makes sense.
What would you say to adults who, maybe they had these experiences when they were younger, and then they reacted just as you said, where they just, they were told not to worry about it, it's not real, so they shut it off. And then maybe they're later in adulthood and they're curious about that. Do you, because I know some of your the things that you work on with clients is like how to unlock your psychic potential or how to develop your intuition. What would you tell somebody who is like wanting to turn it back on or explore that? Can they live more intuitively or more psychically? What do you have any general tips or lifestyle strategies?
If you're feeling that pull, I would say definitely explore it. And kind of like what I said before, look at different things. You may not like everything till you find what feels right for you. Don't be afraid. Find an instructor or a mentor who will allow you to do things your way, because that's one of the things that really bugged me when I first started training again, is, in mediumship, all the females came in on the right side, all the males on the left side, but not for me. For me, they come and stand to the side. So I was always told I was doing it wrong. So I like to, and there's other people who do this too, allow the student to find their own way, work in their own way. I've learned so much from my students. Like I said, the mouth moving, but there's so many other things that are so cool. So don't be afraid. Practice, 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 because I do believe everybody has psychic abilities. Not everyone wants to be a psychic, but you can develop your intuition, and there's lots of, podcasts or YouTube things where you can do that on your own time. But if you're really feeling a pull, it's like training. You have to really, really focus and devote a lot of time to it, because you might get the very basics, like I said. Well, I have a lady. She's wearing pearls. I know she's your grandmother. Okay, but now what? If you're doing a reading, nobody's going to want to know just that. What are you going to do for the other 43 minutes? So it's developing and finding out. I guess the most thing to be short about it is don't be afraid to try.
Do you find, have you ever worked with students who feel like they really want to be a psychic or they're really excited about it, but actually they don't really have any psychic abilities and they're kind of barking up the wrong tree? Or do you feel like if there's that interest there, that there's something there?
Yeah, so I do get people who aren't willing, who want to automatically be psychic, who want to, be able to use their skills automatically. And so, I will encourage them, you have to keep studying. I'll give them ways to do this, but a lot of times they don't. And I tell them, coming to one class a week for 2 hours is not going to help. It's not. You have to, even if you don't have a lot of money to spend, look at YouTube videos, study other psychic mediums. How do they work? What feels right to you? Practice. You know, there's lots of things on Facebook where there's groups where they'll supply a photo and then they'll ask you to psychometrize it and you write everything in the comments and then someone will give you feedback. Fabulous. That's practice. What if you're wrong? Who cares? You know, do it until you get some hits, until you figure out how you work. But it's like anything, you know. Maybe you take up knitting and you're going to try to do, you know, you're going to do 10 minutes of it, but you're not going to be a knitter if you don't continue to learn.
So you work with students. Are you accepting students currently? Okay. Do you have any, based on your work, because you've worked with a lot of teachers, how does somebody go about finding the right teacher? Do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I do. And again, it's part of it is that looking at their website, looking at them and see how they identify with them, see if what they write in their about page feels right to them. Looking at reviews, look at what they're teaching. Does that interest you? Are they teaching a class on using color and mediumship? Do it. You know, if that interests you, do it. Are they teaching trance, but you are not, you don't think you're into trance? Then maybe that's not the right person for you. Try it out. Try different people until you find one or two that you feel comfortable with who allow you to do things your way. I say, as long as you're not disabling someone or giving them, you know, hurtful, harmful information, then there's really no wrong way you can do it.
I know you're kind of pressed for time. Katrina, do you have any other questions?
I was just going to ask if people wanted to book a reading or take a class, or is that all on your website? Is that the best place?
Yeah, and right now, oh my gosh, my website. I'm redoing it, but yes. Fingers crossed, all the buttons work. I have a Monday night circle that I do where sometimes people like to do like a discovery call, which I have on my website, where they just book a call and they ask me, do you think, where should I start? Do you think this is, I just, am I ready to start class? And then we talk about things that are going on with them. And then I, you know, invite them to take a class. And the group that I have right now in there are all different levels, but they're very kind. They're willing to work with wherever level that you're at the moment. So I have that. I have some other classes coming up in the summer, which may not appeal to everybody, but I'm doing a series on missing and murdered Indigenous women, specifically on the Highway of Tears in Canada. That's actually interesting. Note, a lot of Indigenous people are willing to work with psychics, which is kind of interesting. So that's a focus that I want to focus on this summer. That may appeal to someone. I find it fascinating.
I was just going to ask you to share your website, and I'll just add that in the show notes. How can people find you?
Yeah, almost all super easy. Almost all my social media is mediumkellykristen.com, and Kelly with a Y, and then Kristen is IN. Yeah, so all my like Instagram and Facebook page, website.
Perfect.
Okay.
Katrina, anything else?
No, thank you so much. This was great. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me on. It was really fun.
Yes.